Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg, and I'm joined today by Lisa Radcliffe. We're going to be talking about how to successfully merge spiritual depth and humor. You want to grab a notepad of some kind? We're going to be talking about how spiritual depth and humor can coexist. Misconceptions about joy and happiness. Two qualifiers for using humor. Three reasons for using humor. The three R's of great humor and the four ways humor serves your audience. Plus why laughter is a result of God's restoration. Our guest today is Lisa Radcliffe. She has been a women's Bible study teacher for over 25 years and a youth ministry volunteer for over 35 years. She's a published author specializing in helping women find freedom from their past. And she's here today to share with us on this topic. You can learn more about her over at lisajradcliffe.com. Also over at womenspeakers.com. She's available to speak for your group. Welcome to you, Lisa. So excited to have you here.
Thank you, Marnie. I'm excited to be here with you.
I've been looking forward to this. And your story, we were talking a little bit before we came on. Your story is a hard story. It's not a light and fluffy, funny story. It is a hard story. And you have learned through the years how to incorporate humor into your story. For what purpose?
I think that it's so important for our stories to impact other people. Mm-hmm. And to do that, hard stories, especially like my story has to do with sexual abuse. We can't just expect them to go on that journey with us because it's going to be too hard. So we can't drag them up the hill. You know, we want to take our audience on a journey with us. Yeah. And to see who God is and what he's done in our lives. But that's when you have a really hard story, they need breaks up that hill. That journey can't be all uphill.
Steep.
So, you know, if you can give them a little break with humor, it breaks down some barriers. Yeah. It breaks down the fear and the anxiety that's going on. And it helps them come along with you on your journey.
Yeah, it's the old say, laughter makes the medicine go down. You know, and it's like, it is, if it's too long, too intense, it's just too hard. It's just too hard. That's and God is so gracious. And I love all the humor in the Bible. I don't know if you guys see it, but I see it a lot of places. And I definitely see humor in how God relates to me in my life.
All the time.
Okay. So talk to us first about how can this happen? How can humor and spiritual depth coexist?
First, I think that we need to understand that joy is a fruit of the spirit. And I think that humor and laughter is part of that. You know, we tend to, as Christians, pray for love. We pray for peace. We pray even for self-control and patience, which maybe isn't a great idea, but do we often pray for joy? We almost feel guilty. You know, it's like, I don't know that I should pray, that I should have more joy in my life. But we should, because that's part of the fruit. It's part of being a Christian. And that fruit should be growing as well as we mature in Christ.
Yeah. And I think the verse that always comes to mind with joy is, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you're praying for strength, you have to check back at your joy level. How's the joy level? Because those two absolutely go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what are some misconceptions people have about joy and happiness?
What I have seen, especially in the last few years, it seems that we want to separate being joyful from being happy. Like being joyful is spiritual, but being happy isn't. So we can't do that. There's even t-shirts. I've seen them that say, I'm not happy, I'm joyful. And, you know, why are we separating that? Because I think being happy, which to me would mean, you know, laughing, having a smiling countenance, bubbling over, those kind of things. They're just outward expressions of joy. So I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. I think they're very connected.
I'm thinking of Psalm chapter 1, happy is the man. And it goes on, happy is the man. Another, some versions say blessed is the man.
Right. Well, and, yeah, Jesus said in Beatitudes, right. You know, all those blesseds could be translated happy.
Happy.
So if Jesus says it, then I think it's okay.
Yeah. And I do think, though, that there is kind of a distinction where I don't actually feel like in this moment happy by something that's happening to me.
Right,
or around me, right? Absolutely. But yet there is a deep residing joy. And I think that there's a distinction kind of there.
There definitely is. I like to think of it as that joy is like when you see someone that you just adore and you haven't seen them in a long, long time. Yeah. And you know that feeling you get, I think that's that deep happy, that deep joy that we get, which you could have laying in a hospital bed, you know, and just reading your Bible or seeing someone or hearing a message gives you that joy that, yeah, you're not jumping up and down happy at that time, but you do have that joy.
Right.
But I also think that should be expressed. I think when we're, you know, if you see those Christians that always have that dour expression on their face, you kind of wonder, do they have joy? I mean, I'm not going to force them to say that they're happy, but but are they joyful? Do they have that joy? Because, you know, joy is in the Old Testament was never stoic. If you look at it, if you look up verses on joy in the Old Testament, it was always expressed with dancing and shouting and singing. Yes. And I love the one, there's a verse in First Kings when Solomon was being anointed king that it says the crowd in their music and their joy caused the earth to split.
Yeah. Wow.
So, you know,
we're talking serious joy. That's awesome. That's awesome. And I think going back to the joy of the Lord is our strength. It doesn't have to be joy in as human person. My joy can be purely just thinking of Christ and what Absolutely. He did for me. And there's so much joy in that.
Yes.
This
yes.
by itself. Yeah, good. So we're going to go through now the two qualifiers for using humor, three reasons for using humor, and the three R's of great humor. So let's start with two qualifiers for using humor. I'm so curious what you're going to say here because I have some thoughts myself.
All right. Well, what I'm going to say is one is you are not a comedian unless you are a comedian. Right.
You don't have to be a comedian.
You don't that's have, what to, you're be, saying. You don't have to be, you know, a Chandra Pierce to use humor, but you have to be yourself. Yeah. So you want to use real life things people can relate to, raising kids, you know, grandkids, pets, naturally occurring things like when your memory starts to go, or embarrassing moments. Everyone has embarrassing moments and they're funny if they're not yours, right?
Right, exactly.
You can use those. And the other thing is to learn to laugh at yourself. Mm-hmm. I had my good friend in high school, Amy, she taught me that back then. That is okay. I was always afraid to laugh at myself that, you know, other people would think I'm not perfect. Oh no. but you have to learn to laugh at yourself because it does away with being self-conscious about flaws. It lowers that pedestal. You know how people will put speakers up on a pedestal and they find out, oh wait, they're just like me. They can laugh at themselves. I've sometimes lately have been introducing myself. If they say, tell us about something about yourself, you know, at a women's retreat or something. I have noticed I started pointing out that I am very much like my one-year-old grandson. We have a lot in common that I didn't notice before, but I did, you know, we both have a double chin and on him, it's adorable. And on me, not so much. We both have these chubby thighs. On me, not very adorable, but on him, oh my goodness, that's just wonderful. So, you know, when I point out that, you know, I've got these flaws, I know I'm not perfect. And then it kind of lets them know it's okay. It's all right. It's a laugh at imperfections.
You know, you're also at that moment, you're giving your audience permission to laugh with you as you go through your talk. And they actually need that. They need permission to laugh. Yeah. Because especially if it's a serious talk, people aren't sure if they should or not, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I love your first point about making sure that you're authentic to yourself. And that was the best piece of advice I ever got about humor was that if you don't find it hysterically funny, don't share it.
Don't you?
Like, you need to, like, don't just hear a joke and say, well, there's a good joke.
Right.
I mean, it should be the joke that you just keep thinking of and keep giggling about for days on end. That's the joke to use when it's appropriate. Right. And to just be so authentic to yourself and to how God made you, because it is it's actually your joy, your excitement over it that carries the humor to your audience. Yeah. So don't try to be somebody else. Be yourself. Okay. So we talked a little bit about why to use humor, but you have three actual reasons here.
I do. The first one is that it helps. It helps in all kinds of situations because it diffuses tension. It lessens anxiety and fear. It softens uncomfortable conversations or circumstances. You know, it calms people's nerves. It relaxes the body. It's just kind of like that friend that gives you moral support. Yeah. You know, when you're in those situations and things are tense, if somebody says something funny, it just brings the whole thing down a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that's the first one, is that it helps. Second one is that it heals. Because we know that a joyful heart, or cheerful or happy, is good medicine. And it's not just for our physical bodies, because laughter releases endorphins and that promotes healing. So laughter is an essential part of the healing process. I actually learned this past year. I was taking a mental health coaching class, and they really encouraged us to have clients laugh because it really helps in that healing process, because, you know, it lifts your mood and your spirit. So, and the third one would be hopes. The Proverbs 31 woman in verse 25, it's my favorite verse. I hope it's on my tombstone. And the second part of it is that woman laughs at the time to come. And that's because she's not fearing the time to come. There's no fear in that. So that's why she can laugh at it. And I think when our hope is in Christ, we can laugh. You know, it's not a nervous laughter. It's a laughter that is devoid of fear, that says our confidence is in God. And we know who holds the future, and he holds every day and every moment of our lives. So we can just laugh and not have that fear of what's coming. If I could just share one example, I have a friend or had a friend, and she was she's somebody everybody wanted to be around because she was always laughing. She had like smiling eyes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like she's just a beautiful person. And she passed away just a couple months ago, and she was in the hospital. She was going to have this major heart surgery. And the night before her surgery, her room was full of people, friends and family, and they were all laughing. And I wasn't there, but I understand it got really loud. And she was the leader of the band in this, you know, she was leading all this laughter. And why could she do that? Well, she knew the surgery had two outcomes. It was either going to fix her heart or she was going to be with Jesus. And she had total confidence that either outcome was going to be good. Yeah. And imagine the impact that had on the staff and those at the hospital. Right. Maybe some of them closed their doors. I don't
know. Right.
But that's what we can have. And that's what laughter can do. It can really show people our confidence in God. And I think that's an important thing for us as Christians.
I love that. I just love all of them. It's just so, so important. And I was just talking to somebody the other day, and she was in the group, and it was kind of quiet. And they were talking about the story of when, you know, Saul threw this javelin at Jonathan and missed, you know, and the question was, so what do you think you would be thinking if you were Jonathan right then? And she just perked right up, and she said, well, I think, wow, he's a really bad shot. That's a bummer. He just threw a javelin at me. But, you know, just bringing laughter in. I mean, it's so serious all the time. Yeah. But, you know, Jesus was a very playful soul. I love studying him with the perspective of how was he saying that phrase?
Oh, yes.
Because it's flat on the Bible pages, right? But he wasn't flat.
Oh, no. I'm sure that he wasn't. And I think that he laughed a lot. Because the Bible doesn't tell us about his ordinary common things, you know, because they were ordinary and common.
Right.
And if he had the human experience, which we know he did, because he was fully God and fully human, then he had to be laughing.
Yeah.
And besides that, he was raised with brothers, and I raised three boys. I know how much laughing there goes on.
There's going to be going on there.
Oh, there's got to be going on in that house.
So what are your three R's for great humor?
Okay. Well, let's start with I already said we're not comedians telling jokes. I mean, if you have a great joke and you want to share it, that's fine. But our humor comes from our stories. So the things that happen in our everyday lives, what is it about those stories that make them great humor? Well, it's, are they real? I already talked about that a little bit, but keep it real. And I'm going to do it from a slightly different angle. Acknowledge your mistakes and your shortcomings and your failures. Let your audience know you're just like them. So if you stumble over your words or you trip going up the stairs to the podium, or heaven forbid your technology doesn't work, not that any of us have experienced
none of that,
but everybody saw it. Everybody knew it happened. Right. So just own it and just, you know, make a joke out of it or just make light of it. So because laughing just invites people in, I think. And again, it takes you off that pedestal. That's a good place to start, is off the pedestal. And it just makes you relatable, which is my second R, relatable. To connect with your audience, you have to be relatable. So tell stories about things that are common to everybody. You know, being late, getting lost. Oh, those are good. Saying the wrong thing. That is one of my specialties. things like that. Or ask them questions to get them thinking along those lines. Like, does anybody else do dumb things?
Has this ever happened to you?
Has this ever happened to you? Has anyone else frantically looked for their phone while they're talking on it? Because, you know, I do that all the time. But it makes that connection with the audience. And when your audience relates to you, your message can have a greater impact. And that's what we're looking for, isn't it? To have a great impact on our audience. So then the third one is redeemable. How did God use that funny story in your life to teach you a spiritual lesson? And I think laughter can break down barriers. So, and I think part of that is so that they can accept the message that you're going to give. If they're laughing with you, they're much more accepting of what you're going to say. So I tell a story. This is probably awful. It's like the least redeemable story ever. But I tell a story about, now, Marnie, I know you live in Florida and I'm in Pennsylvania. So we experience winter here.
And well, I was born and raised in Minnesota. I know about winter.
So you know winter well, but it's not my favorite season. I don't like the cold.
Right.
And a couple of winters ago, we had snow like every couple of days, which is not all that normal for us. So I would let the dog out and she'd do her business and I wouldn't go outside and I'd, you know, let her back in. And one day I thought, you know, I've really got to clean up after her. But then it would snow again and you wouldn't see it.
Right, so I would think,
I will let that go for. Well, by the time I got around to it, it was so solidly frozen to the ground.
Right.
There was no way I could get this up. I pulled, I tugged, I used a pickaxe. There was nothing going to pull this off the ground. So then I, you know, obviously I tell that story with a lot of other nuance to it. But then I just related that to when we sin and we know we sin, but we just ignore it. We let it go. It's going to get embedded in us and it's going to be a lot harder to get rid of that than if we had just taken care of it in the beginning. So I figure if a story about picking up dog poo can be redeemable, our story should be redeemable.
Right. Absolutely. No, I love that. And I think my sister, I have a sister who's a stand-up comedian. And I mean, they're going for, a stand-up comedian is going for laughs every, I think it's 45 seconds or so. You need to have people laughing for sure, not longer than 3 minutes.
Right.
But it's like much shorter than that for a stand-up comedian. And so when we're thinking of adding humor here, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about keeping them laughing the whole program. We're talking about inserting humor into points that are going to be helpful to both relieve pressure and to solidify the point.
Exactly.
And you don't just want to be bringing in random humor. That's not what you're going for. You want to have it really be applying to what you're talking about.
Oh yeah. You don't want your message to be all disjointed and get people confused.
Right.
You know, it needs to all be cohesive. Use what works in that situation. Don't force anything in there.
I feel like too, God can really help us with this. If you don't know how to, if you don't know what story to put in a place like, boy, I'm really stuck here. I don't know. Just ask God, God, what do you want me to know about this? Yeah. Because sometimes it isn't going to be humor that he gives you. Sometimes he's going to give you something else that is another way to break the tension or to move it along.
Yeah.
That isn't necessarily humor. So don't get locked in that I have to have humor, you know, so many points. No. So you have four ways that humor can serve our audiences.
Yes. Well, one is we need to read the room. Know your audience. Is your audience primarily older women or is it young moms? And then adjust those stories or that humor to fit that season that they're in. Mm-hmm. So even though I'm a grandmom, I can share a funny story about when I was first married or about raising my boys, if that would be, you know, more where they are so that it's more relatable to their situation. So I like to meet them where they are. I don't want to try to drag them to my place in life, you know. And number two, oh no, what if you got the dreaded after lunch speaking slot? you get tired, full bellied audience, and they're just going to shut down. You know, the eyelids are just going to start to go. So laughter can get the blood and the endorphins flowing and it'll wake them up. So you might want to start with a funny story, or you may want to insert more than maybe you normally would in your talk, or get them up and moving. You know, you could use your body. You don't want to just stand behind a podium at those. You want to be active, maybe have them respond to you in some way or imitate your emotions, or just get them up and moving. They could dance around. They could do three laps around their table or a conga line around the room. Whatever it is that gets them moving, because once they start moving and they start laughing, that'll wake them up and they may need that. And, you know, we're there to serve our audience. So if they need a little waking up, then we'll find a way to do it. A woman did this at a writer's conference that I was at. She had that time slot and she could tell we were all, you know, losing it. And she had us get up and just dance around. And that's what happened. Once you start doing that, you start laughing and then all of a sudden you're wide awake again. So what does your audience need? Think outside the box sometimes and give them what they need. So three, does your brand of humor resonate with everyone? Because it probably doesn't. But it's okay. If it falls flat, it's okay. Just move on with your message and trust God for the results. Some audiences aren't demonstrative, but they're right there with you. It's just they're just not going to do that belly laugh kind of thing. I read Andrew Peterson's book on writing over the summer, and he talks about that because the people that come to his concerts are much more subdued than people who go to other concerts. And he's like, well, I'm never going to get a mosh pit going. If I can get people's heads bobbing, you know, I know they're with me. I know because that's just who they are. That's who he's to, you know, and so just know that that's okay. If not every audience is going to be laughing hysterically at you, it's okay. God's still going to use your message. And the fourth one is if your topic is uncomfortable, like sexual abuse in my case, starting off with a funny story or something that happened to you on the way there or something like that, that will help your audience. Because that laughter is going to break down that tension and anxiety in the room, and it's going to help them get ready to hear your message.
Oh, I just love that so much. And anytime you can pull in something that is like specific to their group, that's even better.
Oh yeah.
We want to stay away from something that would embarrass anyone. I am like really a big fan of it has to be funny for everybody. Like you don't pick on a scapegoat.
Oh, absolutely.
Focus on their weakness and make a joke about it. That is so not okay.
Throw in for extra. Yeah. you know, I worked with youth for a long, long time. You go on a missions trip, do not use as part of your presentation inside jokes that happened on the missions trip. They're not funny to the people who weren't. No. They're just confusing.
Yeah. You want to really be careful about what you choose to make funny. But I got to one engagement, and the two gals that were the planners met me at the airport to pick me up. And they said, oh, you look just like your picture. And I said, and your hair. I said to one of them, so great to meet you. And your hair is the hair I've always dreamed of. I mean, I like my hair, but that's the hair I've always dreamed of. And she goes, oh, you can have it. It's a wig. So I actually told that story at the beginning of my first talk with these ladies. But first I got her permission.
Oh, if you're good idea.
Yes. If you're going to use a story like that, anything that's maybe personal to somebody, maybe everybody didn't know she was wearing a wig.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, you don't want to just go for it. But once you ask permission, oh my gosh, they laughed so hard and they thought it was just great. So yeah. Do use appropriate humor if you need to get permission. And if you're ever telling a story, whether it's funny or not, you want to mention at the beginning of the story that you got the person's permission yes. to tell it, because otherwise everybody's scared to talk to you after.
Absolutely.
They're like, am I going to be next yep. on her uh-huh. thing? You know?
Yep.
Yeah. You want to make sure people know you're not just telling everybody's secrets. Yep. You're sharing with permission. That's awesome. So you say that laughter is a result of God's restoration. What are you talking yeah. about?
Well, I'm going to take this from Psalm 126 and I'll read these verses so I don't mess this up. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Uh-huh. So God is all about restoration. Yeah. And in that he brings laughter and joy and gladness and praise. And I think that these verses show that we honor God and we represent him and what he's done in our lives well when our mouths are filled with laughter.
Oh, it's so beautiful. What I was thinking about where you might go with this one, when I first saw it, I thought right away about Abraham and Sarah and how God gave them this baby in their 90 and 100 years yeah. old and laughter. I mean, that's what he named the baby.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth, you know, Mary's cousin Elizabeth, when she was pregnant with a baby at the end of her life, she's so old and she got this baby. And I think some of you that are listening to us, you've been waiting on something from God and you're looking for that moment of restoration, for that moment of fulfillment. And I just want to tell you, just laugh with him until you get there and then laugh when it comes. Yeah. Experience his joy all along the journey and then experience his joy again, afresh and anew and at a whole new level when you get it. Oh, this has been so much fun, Lisa. Good job.
Aw, thank you.
That's great. You guys totally want to check out Lisa's website. It's lisajradcliffe.com. What are they going to find when they get over there?
Oh gosh, my website has, my blog is there. I post, I should post more. I try to post at least once a month.
When I post.
Yeah, I post when I post. And I do try to see some humor in everyday things, and I'll post about that and also a spiritual lesson along with it. So those are there. You can find my two books there, links to those if you'd like to find out more information for those. And, you know, what I'm up to, I offer some free stuff about abuse prevention and things like that. So there's a lot there. You can come and check it out.
Awesome.
That's and you can connect with me.
Absolutely. Do it, do it, do it. LisaJRadcliffe.com. Also, she's available to speak at your upcoming event. So be sure to reach out to her at womenspeakers.com too. Lisa, thank you so much. What fun.
You're very welcome. Thanks again for having me.
You bet. And thanks you guys for joining us. So much fun to have you here. Can't have a show without followers and listeners and attendees. So thank you so much. Share it around and we will see you next time. Have a great day.